Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. 2 years into the pandemic, experts are voicing some cautious optimism that COVID-19 may soon evolve from an unpredictable pandemic into a more manageable endemic. This week, three experts from Duke University weighed in on what it would mean to move to this new phase and what we would need to do to avoid losing the progress that's been made over the past 24 months. Dr. Jonathan Quick, an adjunct professor at the Duke Global Health Institute, says we may not eliminate COVID, but we can learn to live with it. And he envisions a future in which we have an early warning system similar to what we have for forecasting inclement weather.
The movement from the original strain to Alpha to Delta to Omicron basically was predictable. The virus's sole purpose in life is to go forth and multiply. And this was a continuing game of King of the Mountain. And Omicron chased Delta away because it was more contagious. As Darwin said, survival of the fittest, not necessarily the strongest. With viruses, with pandemic viruses, the fittest is the one that's most contagious. The move to deadliness is a bit more random. It's a genetic roulette. We were lucky with Omicron. But as long as we have the extent of viral activity around that we have, the more contagious is going to rule. But what would be really unfortunate if after all of the current viral activity that's going on with Omicron, we had a variant, and there's no reason why we couldn't, that combines both the contagiousness of Omicron and the deadliness of Delta. So endemic is getting us back to a manageable level. I think the key thing is a level of immunity where basically we can go about our daily lives. If we think back to where we were last June, where, you know, the virus was still around, we were cautious about where we went, but we were able to live more normally. And I think that that's the level that we're aiming for. But it is going to take a strong data backbone, the diagnostics, vaccines, therapeutics, and this public health early warning system that's really responsive. Because what we can't do is drop back into complacency and say, oh, the war is won.
Dr. Christopher Woods, co-director of the Hubert Jurgen Center for Global Health at Duke, agrees that the key to moving forward is an ongoing investment in public health infrastructure.
I am very pleased that Dr. Quick and I are similarly emphasizing the need for a ongoing investment in our public health infrastructure and surveillance and in the technologies which we've invested so much in the in the early phase of the pandemic, and making sure that those technologies are available in an equitable fashion. I think that's kind of the key elements. And we don't want to lose vigilance as we continue to progress into an endemic phase, because as noted, what we're liable to see is intermittent surges of infection that may reflect either waning immunity. We need to be especially vigilant now about making sure that vaccination is available to all of our populations in the U.S. and outside of the United States as well. And that's important because that retained immunity lessens the likelihood of new strains pushing those surges. You know, if it's Omicron that kind of comes back as immunity wanes, we're much more likely to be able to handle that as a population, as opposed to if we have a newer variant that potentially has greater severity associated with it.
Lavanya Vasudevan, an assistant professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at Duke, has been reflecting on vaccination campaigns and how messaging may need to shift to address vaccine hesitancy in the future.
Everybody has different priorities and motivations when it comes to vaccinations. Definitely in my own research, I've found a variety of decision-making styles when it comes to vaccinations. There are individuals who have high perceived risk of disease who usually don't need any kind of interventions. They're ready to be vaccinated. And their primary needs are around getting access to the vaccine or having a more convenient way to get vaccinated. Then we have individuals who are either indifferent to vaccinations or have other competing priorities that prevent them from getting vaccinated. And definitely for those populations, incentives and mandates are effective. And then you get towards a group who are very hesitant to get vaccinated. And that's where we need to start engaging in one-on-one conversations around their concerns. And I think the best opportunities to have those one-on-one conversations are in the doctor's office. So moving forward, we need to increase or put in place mechanisms to train providers and incentivize them to engage in those conversations. Again, there is no magic word or phrase that we have identified in the past year that providers can use. Rather, it's a process, a conversation or multiple conversations that providers use empathy and active listening and respond to individual concerns.
Even as cases of Omicron appear to have peaked in other parts of the country, Dr. Quick says our global genomic surveillance and decision-making must get better.
We have to have public health officials with a clear idea how to respond, because you can't catch up. We've seen over and over again states or countries that say, well, let's see how it goes. No, I mean, you don't get a do-over.
Dr. Woods reminded us that even in an endemic phase, the coronavirus can still put a strain on our hospital systems, and we need to be thinking about how to address that now.
With regard to our workforce, I think that's a very important part of this, and we've seen burnout at tremendous frequency. I'm sure we've all felt it to some degree. The ICU docs and nurses and first responders have been our true heroes in all of this. And the capacity for them to continue to respond to surges is going to no doubt be diminished. And so we need to replete that workforce, particularly during these surges, so that we can tolerate those. And that means we need to make sure that vaccine is required in our health care systems. We need to make sure that people adhere to masking at a minimum during these surges in the healthcare system. But I suspect, as I mentioned earlier, that this will become much more the norm in hospitals, at least, if not in all healthcare situations, even as we move past or into the endemic phase.
Another concern for Professor Vasudevan is the inaccurate perception that because we've reached the endemic stage, vaccinations and boosters may not be as necessary.
Just the fatigue from COVID, wanting this to be over, is motivating a lot of people to get vaccinated. At this time, 80% of our population that's 5 years and older has been vaccinated. And so that's a tremendous achievement for a vaccination campaign. I think let's first acknowledge that. But usually, as we move towards more endemic infections, we start to see some complacency set in, right? The flu vaccination rates, for example, are much, much lower than the COVID vaccination rates that we are seeing right now. And the way in which we have overcome that is, again, to streamline the messaging and resources around vaccinations to occur with the timing of when a surge might happen or when we might see increased number of cases. And so that's something that we would have to do moving forward. And that's where early warning systems and these global surveillance systems would play a big role.
As for those who've been vaccinated and are ready to drop their guard and return to their pre-pandemic lifestyle, Dr. Quick offers a final word of caution.
We learned that 100 years ago with the 1918 flu. We had a fourfold difference in the death rate among cities around this country. Those places that let their guard up too early, relaxed protective measures too early, were the ones that were hit the hardest. And we as a public health community need to do a better job of making it clear that this is an evolving science. The virus is evolving. I mean, not keeping up with the latest public health advice will only prolong the pandemic for everyone. That's just a reality.
We also learned this week that Pfizer will be testing a reformulated COVID-19 vaccine that matches the hugely contagious Omicron variant to see how it compares with the original shots. Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.